Welcome to this podcast. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the singularity. And I have with me Mateo, and I would like you first to explain to the people that might don't know what we mean with singularity, what it is.
Well, Victor, singularity is something related to AI, as we all know, or might know. And the concept of singularity means when the artificial intelligence, the machines, their intelligence overpasses human intelligence. And not only that, but also they can be aware of themselves. They can be conscious.
Yeah, and media loves, like, you know, the dangerousness of the concept of singularity. There's this controversy between, you know, Elon Musk and Zuckerberg, that they have this discussion always about.
Yeah. It's more the most tangible thing of AI related to the human culture, like normal culture, pop culture around this topic, that robots can overtake the world and they can destroy everything. Actually, what AI right now doesn't work like that. Yeah. AI is just like kind of a simple way of developing different methods for learning patterns and for reproducing them. But the most difficult part is to get something conscious.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, when we talk about consciousness, this will be like a consequence more of the level of intelligence that eventually in this, you know, theoretical.
Yeah. Here's the thing: the consciousness, like one of the most difficult topics and one of the most like hiding and mysterious things in the world. We don't even have the power of ensuring that other people apart from us is conscious. We guess they are conscious, the rest of the humans, and we guess also animals are conscious in a certain level. We know it's something, it's a characteristic that we can, it's not measurable right now, but it might be because there are different levels of consciousness. Someone can be more or less conscious than other people.
Yeah, but I think you mentioned in the other time that we were talking about this topic that somehow there is kind of like a test or it's like a way to know if you are aware of yourself, isn't it?
Like in the past there was like this test for the robots called the Turing test, that basically its functionality is if a person doesn't know if the answers come from a robot or a person, then the singularity has to be overpassed. But this like a test that is not very evolved, and obviously it doesn't mean that a robot, just because it answers you like a human, it doesn't mean that it has consciousness.
That's true.
Right now, what the scientists are using for determining if other animals are conscious of themselves, aware of themselves, is putting them in front of a mirror with something in their back or something differentiating, and that they can realize that the animal in front of the mirror is themselves.
Okay, so for example, if you put like an ant in front of a mirror, you're saying that if they had something over, you know, he said something like that, and if they are aware that they're an individual, they will remove, you know, that, or they kind of, you know, because if they think there's another ant, they will not react to that
You know. Yeah, this is the thing. Like at the beginning, we believed like that consciousness it was something only for humans. Then we realized that other mammals have feelings and they can perceive consciousness. But what is more interesting about this is that ants, that are very simple animals, they are more conscious than reptiles or crocodiles that are huge animals, you know. Because if a thing like most people defend, I'm also one part of these people, that defend that consciousness is related to social animals. And basically what it is that they put a pheromone in the ant's antenna, and when the ant was in front of a mirror, it could realize that there was a pheromone in their antennas. And this also happens with dolphins and with gorillas. The problem is that, for example, with monkeys, they are conscious, but their intelligence level is at the stage of a 3-year-old boy. So they can they develop a way of communicating with humans, for example, telling us that they are hungry or they want like to play with this toy. But they never ask us a question. The thing is that, like, even human kids, until they're 3 years old, they cannot ask questions. Like, even questions related to a topic, for example, because they believe that everyone is themselves. There is kind of a natural way of consciousness.
That's true. Yeah, actually, yeah, to understand consciousness, we should start thinking on how human got to the point to be aware of these terms.
It's the only thing we can start building up a theory. So basically, for example, let's say the situation where you tell a boy that there are two persons in one room with an object. One person leaves the room, the other person hides the object.
Yeah.
Then when you ask the kid if the other person that was out of the room comes in, if he's going to find the object, he tells you yes. Because he thinks that what one person A knows, the person B also knows it, even when it wasn't there. Because they think that what everyone know, like what one person knows, is shared by everyone. And that's what happens with monkeys. That's why they don't ask questions. Because monkeys think that what they know is all what we know.
Okay, so you're saying that there's different levels, actually, of consciousness.
Exactly. Right?
So they are aware that they might be and
they are different, exactly.
But they don't have that level of intelligence to actually know
of saying like this is me and this is a different person of me.
Uh-huh.
They know they are there, that they are separate, they're individuals, but they don't know that the rest of us we also may have consciousness and might be different, you know?
Oh, okay. That's really interesting actually. So but coming back to the topic that went to relate consciousness is, you know, obviously the singularity and all of this, and I think it's going to be really important, this topic, too, in the future, when we will have actually technology to have like androids, like as we see, for example, in the famous HBO series that is called Westworld, isn't it?
Yeah, in Westworld, it's very interesting because it's not just like a technological series. It talks more even about human species than about robots, with the excuse of putting into the place to develop like with software and with hardware, like robots that are conscious. They also explore all the evolutive way we had to pass as humans for developing a way of thinking by ourselves and a way of being consciousness.
That's really good. Yeah. I guess this, the concept of consciousness is the outcome of a long evolution and thinking process of the human. No? The same will happen if we create, you know, this android that is programmed to simulate us by half.
Until one day.
Yeah.
It's not something that passes from the night to the day. It's a very long process. For example, humans at the beginning of the humanities, in the human history, they actually believed that their own thoughts, it was like the orders from gods that they were putting these ideas in their minds.
Yeah.
So they were doing everything for the gods, and they didn't have like self-awareness, like they didn't have like freedom. They thought that all the thoughts they were, for example, I'm thirsty, I want to have water, for example. They thought that was an order from the gods.
Oh, that's really interesting. Really interesting.
Or you should go hunting. I should go hunting, or I should paint this drawing here. They thought that was order from gods.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think, to understand consciousness is going to be key to actually understand how an android could ever like think like us, you know. But then I think another important thing is actually the AI technology that is behind, or even machine learning, actually, like how these androids learn and eventually will get to the same intelligence even more.
It's not difficult to overpass human intelligence with artificial intelligence. The problem is the consciousness, because we can get close to understanding what consciousness is, but we will never know what is really consciousness, because everything you feel, everything you think is inside your consciousness. There is nothing outside the consciousness. When you feel that it's warm outside, you're feeling this warmness. You're not feeling the physical world. You're feeling that your body gets warm because outside is warm. But what you're feeling is your body, not the outside.
Wow, yeah. And this series, the Westworld, in this new series season, we really see the dangerous, like possible outcome that singularity can bring us. So,
and it also puts like us in an ethical debate, like, should also like robots, because they're conscious, have the same rights and same ethical principles?
I think that's the big question. Like, like actually they should be treated like a new race, mm-hmm. or like a new kind of individual. They should be like treated with the same respect and a human being. And yeah, I think the way that this new season is half a ball is a consequence from all the misbehavior, like the outcome of how badly mm-hmm. human had treated
even animals that might be consciousness are human streets, like also like in general, yeah. in general history, like animals quite bad because they sometimes we idealize them and we think that they are not conscious when they might be. And this is applied like to robots, to animals. If you apply this ethical filter to robots, you also have to apply it to animals. And I guess like I think like Westworld explores this idea of consciousness very well, like putting it as a labyrinth instead of something that is linear, something that is more like circular and has like many ways of reaching to the same point or to getting out of the labyrinth.
That's true. I can't wait to see the last episode. I haven't watched the last one yet. Okay.
And like other thing that Westworld, I don't think that Westworld explores basically the concept of consciousness, but I think there are other series, like especially video games, that explores more the social impact of consciousness of robots conscious in the world.
That's true. That's true. The new game of David Cage is called Detroit Become Human.
What is it about?
As you said, it's
I know exactly a bit about like it, but I'm not sure.
Is this future where the standards are completely adapted to our reality? They become like common to have an Android in your life. Like
it's like a slave, basically.
I mean, yeah, you can have it for whatever you want. There is mm-hmm. Android that I used in the house, like tasks and mm-hmm. or their
for helping humans. Yeah.
So exactly, helping humans in any task you can possibly imagine. But the interesting of the game is that that's the subject, as you said as well, with an ethical
in open world.
Yeah, to where as Android is super integrated in society, like first there's a big change on the economy side where. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have lost their job, and that's a reality that it will happen eventually.
But yeah, as artificial intelligence progress, many people will lose their like normal jobs.
Probably. Yeah, exactly. But we will do what we have been done all this time, just mm-hmm. creating
replacing.
New
job. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and that's why it will happen. So, yeah, but the this game touched so many different topics, so important topic mm-hmm. like as. Like you know how you treat someone different if you know that isn't a human or an android, and the thing is in this game because they look so perfect like human yeah, beings
so similar
and but it changed completely the way they treat it when they know it's an android, like really really bad, no, like mm-hmm. At least how they get represent that, and they do it like that because you actually play three different characters. They are all mm-hmm. androids, and they all have their own
different stories.
Yeah, and the good thing with this game is as the other that David Cage have done it, that you can decide during the game what is going to be
the decision based game basically.
Exactly, and the outcome is different. Depending mm-hmm. on the decision that you took. So, yeah, but you basically feel like you are an android. and yeah, it's...
You can be identified with them, like, in a certain way, feel exactly. identified.
The game also that topic as, like, you know, racism, like, where mm-hmm. as they are enough intelligent to actually have this social
yeah.
environment.
You can take these ideas from Westworld and from Detroit Becomes Human, like from these walls to their reality now, like the mm-hmm. racism, the bad treatments to other people that are just because they are different.
That's true. But yeah, the game also is really interesting because I don't want to get into any spoiler, but there is actually a reference with this kind of first feeling of consciousness
mm-hmm.
where when you are playing, you have to like break like a wall, mm-hmm. like physical wall that you see.
A visual way of realizing what this.
To have like the ability to move freely and, you know, and so I think that that is representing is like this robot, they already have consciousness, like singularity has already happened, but they have these like limitations mm-hmm. to add, and with different acts that happen during the game, they break that wall of
it's software. Very interesting to explore this idea of the actual process from not being conscious to becoming aware.
But it's really interesting. I really could recommend to anyone that, you know, maybe if you don't want to play, you can watch
it. From
really interesting. Yeah. And I think it really like present us what will be the future, or maybe, you know,
it's like watching a movie about this,
yeah,
but in a video game basically.
But it's also bring you the positive side of having these androids, because for example, we see how this in the society there is group of music or musicians mm-hmm. that are android, or we have like the first astronaut that is android, or like you can you know integrate this.
Even I feel like that technology always helps us to know more about ourselves, like our human nature, addictions, how we are prepared evolutively for getting attached to things.
Yeah the game is an entire experience. It is actually help you to feel what you will how you feel if you will have to treat this android, you know? And it really send you the question of real love, whatever if a human or if an android, you know? And mm-hmm. that's, I think, yeah, the game really touched really, really interesting topic.
You know? Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I'm going to play it. Like, I don't know, but yeah.
You're thinking of buying the play game?
Well, I haven't seen like all the different outcomes, so maybe mm-hmm. that's the good thing of this format.
You know, barely the price of the games so that our audience can have an idea.
Yeah, I guess like normal like a PS4 game is like
60
or something like that. They're mm-hmm. they are expensive as
well. Yeah, it's a lot of work behind the game.
Maybe you buy NPC, cheap. I don't know. But I recommend 100% to watch it on YouTube, and you can watch like people play and all this stuff. But,
and as always, like this game puts us to the question, to the most important question, that is like, should we treat same robots that are conscious to humans that are also conscious? Like the point of having rights is like falls on the side of the consciousness or on the side of the species of humans.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think we will treat it the same, but there is also, very important for the one who mentioned that in the game, they really look like human beings. That's why I will treat like the same, mm-hmm. it'll look like that. But if they don't, but they have consciousness, they have singularity, I don't know, it's kind of weird if, you know.
Maybe like animals, that like we don't treat them like as conscious because they're different to humans, maybe. They would be more similar, more intelligent, but
but obviously you respect an animal the same.
Well, like in my case, but a society. Thing, you know. The important thing is how society reacts.
That's true. That's why I think it's gonna be a really interesting.
I think it's a question everyone should ask themselves: like, is it ethical to treat a robot that is conscious as inferior, or just because there are other species?
Okay, before getting into that advanced technology, we're gonna have to solve so many things to get there in the point of hardware and software.
Yeah, so, and the most difficult and dangerous thing.
How long do you think it's gonna take us to get to that point?
Well, to create most artificial intelligence that overpass human intelligence is not gonna take a lot. Like probably in the 2060, around that. Most of the applications, most of the things we do with artificial intelligence will be over human intelligence. But to reach consciousness, there is no answer to that. We don't know. Maybe 100 years, maybe 50, maybe never.
Yeah.
you know, something very complicated.
Yeah, we said it can just happen as a consequence of AI and, you know, the intelligence. And in terms of hardware, how difficult do you think is to create?
Well, you have to take into account that human brains, like a neuron, has up to 10,000 connections, and there are like millions of neurons in our brains. Just to create that with transistors, and transistors are not like brain cells; they only have like one input and one output. It's like an interrupter. So we need to create something way more potent and way more computationally complex than that.
When I'm thinking about AI and this stuff, I relate it firstly with Watson, the IBM artificial intelligence that they have now. It's like this really, really powerful assistant, world assistant. They use it for many, many different things. But I remember how they built it, like, I remember a few years ago. And at the beginning, it was a huge computer that was the size of an entire room.
I mean, computational complexity keeps advancing, but there is going to be a point where transistors are physically not be able to be smaller. So we got to change the site and try to look to this problem in another way.
And what about with Sophia?
It's kind of entertaining, but obviously she's not conscious. She has like like some kind of AI that is kind of potent, but still it's not that. Might be useful for fake receptionists or for chatbots, for example, that are increasing these years. But
I can imagine. Imagine how difficult it will be to recreate like face expressions. I mean, you can really tell Sophia, but she can move some, but still.
That's complex, but even it's more complex to replicate human behavior, you know, it's very determined, but there are many factors taking into account that the brain is not only neurons, there are also like hormones, there are also like other factors. The scientists just discovered that in our decisions, it takes also into account the bacteria that is in our intestines.
There's a lot of chemicals that take part in that. Yeah, no, I mean, there is a lot of factor for sure. Like, it's not easy. Like, you know, maybe we don't want them to be as smart as similar to a human being, like, you know.
Yeah, well, I am interested in creating like artificial consciousness, because in that way, if we're able to create, to develop an artificial consciousness, we'll be able to understand what consciousness is. That would be the key.
That's true.
I think it's the only way of understanding and trying to understand what is consciousness and trying to know what is it. One of the greatest mysteries of all humankind.
And in terms of intelligence, how much can be the difference between super intelligent and us? I mean, can we really create such a huge amount of different intelligence that we maybe cannot, you know, understand?
It's already happening. And the thing is, like, if we create like artificial intelligence that is way more intelligent than us, it's gonna be like the similitude of an ant and humans. Ants don't know what a human is. They cannot understand, despite their conscious, they cannot understand us, because we are like in a stage of intelligence much superior of them. The communication between different levels of intelligence is hugely different and hugely difficult. So if we create like a machine that is very, very intelligent, even if there is like a way of communicating, it wouldn't be possible to transmit everything.
We're thinking, yes, theoretically. I mean, maybe it will happen like in a lot of years in the future. Maybe we do even be alive in that moment.
Maybe it won't happen.
Maybe. I don't know. But in terms of like common situations, I think Android can be really, really useful. I mean, it really, for example, in the game, one of the characters that you play, you're basically a higher, well, they bought it now. And that something that I haven't mentioned that is really funny is like, there is this company, this is the monopoly of the production of these Androids. And have this store, so you basically just go to the store and you can pick whatever you want. And in terms of price, it's good how
cheap they can be, no?
Yeah, yeah. It was about around 10,000 or something like that. Like,
that's cheaper than a car.
Yeah, yeah. At least, you know, maybe it was a basic model or whatever, but yeah, it's really cheap, you know. So yeah, one of the stuff that you play is this young woman that basically is taking care of a little girl that doesn't have a mother, no? So you basically, you know, play with the girl, like teach her, like do whatever thing, because they're super intelligent. Mm-hmm. So you can use your Android for whatever you want. No? For example, they also mention the content of, you know, you have your personal trainer Android, so they go with you and run with you and,
yeah,
you know,
this is like the thing, like, probably like even before we create a conscious Android, it's going to be probably like a receptionist, like this kind of real world humanoids acting or, yeah, world, even if they are not conscious, because they can replicate us in a very similar way and they can be very helpful in this kind of as a tool, you know.
That's true. Yeah, for sure. Now I think we will start seeing more integration with a robot, that they will not be Android, they will be like this robot that they're basically machines that move and help you in different small tasks, for example, in the supply chain of a, you know, factory or wherever, that they have this minimum intelligence, but we will not yet in terms of application of non-real reality.
Yeah, I feel in this incoming decade, like in 2020s, it's going to be the final boom of, well, the great boom of artificial intelligence. And by 2030, it's going to be the great boom of robotics itself. Like, we're going to see by 2030 robots in all kind of areas, like in universities, in everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah, but imagine to get to the point where an Android is a product that, you know, the any consumer can buy, that they get to the point where the price is, you know, affordable for the, most of the people. It will take a long, long time, you know. Hmm. So it will take a long time to get to a massive production point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, industry is growing like very fast, very, very fast, and people is already getting ready for this.
Yeah. Do you think the people is ready? Psychologically,
well, think about this, like 5-6 years ago, like maybe 10, we had mobile phones. Now it's everywhere. We don't remember what was life without mobile phones. And 20 years ago, we didn't have internet, and we don't even remember how it was life without internet.
Yeah.
So I guess we're like, our brain is very, very well designed for getting adapted to every kind of situation. Like, even if you're alive, you can realize that, like, it didn't happen that much of time since you changed so much, because human brains are made for that, for getting adapted to all kinds of environments.
Yeah, but still, I see a lot of like people afraid of that we create such an intelligent.
Yeah, obviously, we gotta take like care of ethical issues, and that's very important for technology, because sometimes we just create technology without having thought the possible consequences or the possible outcomes of that.
Yeah, but imagine, you said, if we create this, such intelligent half amount, that amount of difference between us,
mm-hmm,
and they decide that humans are not any good,
yeah,
from them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's why, like, in engineering, like, in, when human, you study artificial intelligence, they also, like, introduce you to quite a lot of concepts of ethical issues, and they also teach you, apart from artificial intelligence, ethical things, because it's very important, ethics in engineering and technology, basically.
Yeah, that's true. Everything is in the code, mm-hmm, in the software. Like, if the code, this, at least when you have that amount of intelligence, like, you can, they can reprogram something like that. But as you said, yeah, humans are gonna be the ones that decide the.
Yeah, so, and this is the big problem of artificial intelligence. It's not the artificial intelligence is like a tool. It's like a weapon, depending on the person that uses it and how it's being used. That's why, like, even I think Russia, the president said, like, the one that takes control of the artificial intelligence in the future is the one that is going to control the world, because it's such a powerful tool. You can use it for very bad things or for very good things.
Yeah, I think we just have started with AI and all that. And yeah, definitely it's going to be really interesting to see how we implement it. All these tools, in our day to day, you know.
Definitely.
I am still waiting for the perfect like personal assistant, because you know, and like Siri.
Yeah, they are not that workable. Yeah.
Alexa. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like how Amazon integrate a Alexa on the new device, on the mm-hmm. Echo, and I think it's audio is way more fast than testing and everything. So yeah, it's gonna be the future. Audio is gonna be
it is the future. Artificial intelligence voice is very difficult to use, and they just created an artificial intelligence able to design a song and to sing a song, actually. Yeah, and with artificial intelligence you can, like, even now all the songs that are out there, they're all like obviously modified by software.
Yeah.
And artificial intelligence takes a bit of like of this merch, of this marketing industry.
Yeah, but the problem will get to a point where the artificial intelligence will be that perfect, that better than us, and you know, we will not need like,
well, artificial intelligence is just how to like use a hammer, you know. You have to know how to use artificial intelligence. I don't feel it's something bad necessarily, like it's not like very natural to build a house without your own hands. Now we feel that it's natural to build it with machines and with tools that we created. Artificial intelligence is the same. At the end, the creative process is not going to be lost. It's just a tool.
Yeah, that's true. Like most of the robots that are like that have customers like in the market are the ones that improve the human work, like help to improve. It doesn't like substitute then. So yeah, I think the key is improving us as human with technology. Yeah,
most people see artificial intelligence more like something independent, something that is like autonomous, and they don't understand that it's just a tool. It's a tool that can be kind of autonomous, can learn and that stuff, but at the end of the day, it's just a tool. It's just like a software tool that helps us to get better results.
Okay, and I would like, maybe for the people that have some technical background like you does, to explain a little bit how the process of machine learning work and how important is machine learning for AI.
Mm-hmm.
Basically.
Yeah, so basically, like when you talk about AI, you're talking about a lot of maths, basically, and a lot of algorithms. So, for example, when you have like a neural network, that for the ones that doesn't know, is like a machine learning process algorithm. For example, you can design a neural network, artificial intelligence, for understanding which number you're writing in a screen, basically. If you write a 7, it says this is a 7. Because it can understand and recognize patterns. It has been learned to understand and recognize patterns. But if you ask this machine, this artificial neural network, to draw a 7, it doesn't know what a 7 is. It just knows how to draw a pattern. Even if you write like something that is not a number, the interesting thing is that it's going to recognize 99% to a certain number. It's going to say like, this is a 5 when you draw, for example, a 3.
Yeah, so it can only like analyze data and recognize
the pattern. It recognizes patterns, basically.
The data.
In a mathematical way that is very abstract to us, because it's very complicated, it's very complex. The artificial intelligence or the machine learning process has learned how to find patterns in things, or how to process information to get the desired outputs.
Yeah.
That's the thing that is artificial intelligence. It's not like, it's basically taking inputs and giving the actual outputs, but it's not like humans that we take inputs, we understand them, we process them in our consciousness, and then we take up, we give back outputs.
That's true.
There is not the middleware in between them.
Yeah, there's more linear thinking process there.
It's basically input, output, and the output is obviously through machine intelligence and that stuff.
Talking about input, something that's really important is data.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, definitely.
Data is a really controversial topic. We had seen how Cambridge Analytica have done it. Like that's really like unethical. I use
another
of
example of how you can use very badly technology. That's technology is a tool.
So yeah, I think I read in an article that people when they have an AI tools that work and whatever, and that is they ask them, okay, where have you found or how you got the data from, no?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, sometimes they don't have an answer. They don't want to give an answer because that data wasn't obtained like from, you know.
Yeah,
from data that.
Data is the basis for artificial intelligence. Without data, you can barely do things with artificial intelligence. And the thing is, like, I guess it's reasonable to worry about our intimacy, but think about this, like, Google and Apple, they already have, like, all the information about you, probably. Yeah. If you have any social media, your information is out there. And there is no way to stop that. Like, they know you, they know what you like, probably. You can even search for this in Google and in Facebook now, and it basically plays you different levels. Like, for example, a young boy that likes basketball, that likes this, and it's impressive how well it processes the information and how well it guesses the things. Sometimes it's obviously wrong, but...
Yeah, there's way, there's good ways to obtain the data.
You have to impose some kind of regulation for avoiding bad people to do bad things and for letting good people use this data for using good things. That's the thing. We don't have, like, our law system, our legislation has not evolved as fast as technology. And we need a legislation that can be adapted very fast to technology. And this is the thing, like, even the bureaucratic process is very slow. And that is going to be a problem for these incoming technologies that are rising so fast.
That's true, definitely. Yeah, data is really, really important for now and for the future. Okay.
Especially for the future.
Especially for the future, yeah. Okay, I think we're going to leave this session with a question for the audience that maybe... you can, you know, write in the comments or leave it like if they want. So,
yeah, I guess coming back to the artificial intelligence thing and going over consciousness, the question would be like, do you really think we should treat another kind we create, like robots or androids that we believe they are conscious, as equals with the same rights and with the same treatment as humans, or should they be treated differently just because they're made by us and they're not animals or creatures from the world?
Exactly. So that's the question, and that's it. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much.
Enjoyed it. Bye.